I feel like it's always a question after Shavuos. There's like so much anticipation for Shavuos. You know, you climb the mountain, you're getting to Har Sinai. So after the Yom Tov Shavuos, like, what are we supposed to do? Not Chas V'Shalom that it's a downer, but a little bit like after Shavuos, where does one go? What does one do? Tonight is probably tonight is the last year for the season. So those who've come out regularly, I want to thank you for being here every week. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem at the end of the summer, get ready for Chodesh Elul. But I thought, coming out of the Yom Tov Shavuos and trying to figure out what a Jew does after the Yom Tov Shavuos, and trying to maybe internalize some of the learning we've done over the course of the year, so I want to talk about holding on to Kabbalah Satara. Trying to make sure that Shavuos doesn't pass us by and we're the same Jews, which is always the challenge after any Yom Tov, but I feel like especially after Shavuos. We work so hard, Sivir HaOmer, we're thinking, we're trying to get there, you know? We stay up all night, many of us, or we try to increase our learning and our commitment to mitzvos, and then it's over. And now it's just a regular Thursday. So let's begin by explaining that it's not a regular Thursday. It's not at all a regular Thursday. In fact, if you look in source number one, the Mishnah on Meseches Chagiga tells us that when a person would come to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shlosh Regalim, so there were certain karbanos that one would bring. Karban Ola Sri'iya, Karban Chagiga. So the Mishnah describes, Mishalo Chag B'Yom Tov HaRishon Shal Chag, Chogeg Es Kol HaRegel V'Yom Tov HaAchron Shal Chag. If you did not, Mishalo Chag, if you didn't bring your Karban at the beginning of the Yom Tov, don't worry, you still have the entire Yom Tov to bring your Karbanos. So to fulfill your obligation in the Beis HaMikdash, you have the entire Yom Tov, the entire remainder of the Regel, meaning the days of Chol HaMoed, etc., to bring your Karban. Says the Mishnah, Over HaRegel V'lo Chag, if the Yom Tov passed and now you still didn't bring your Karban, Eino Chayev B'Achayusa. You've missed the opportunity to bring the Karban. And about this, it says in Koheles, Mu'uvas Lo Yuchal Liskon V'Chesron Lo Yuchal Imanos. That a lost thing, a twisted thing, can't be straightened out, meaning you missed the opportunity. And something which is lacking, something that's not there, can't be counted. So you have, again, the optimal time to bring the Karban, and if you missed it, you have the whole week to make it up. The question is, what about the Yom Tov HaShavuos? Shavuos is it's a hit and run, it's one day. You don't have a Chol HaMoed. You don't have this whole week process to bring the Karban. So the Gemara, not on the page in front of you, but in Chagiga Daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara says that just like Pesach, you have 7 days to bring your Karban, so too Shavuos. You have 7 days to bring your Karban. That's part of the reason that many shuls, not all shuls, this one, for example, says Tachton during these days. But there are many shuls that do not recite Tachton during these days. Why is that funny? What's so funny about Tachton?
We just do the opposite of everybody else.
Okay. That's the minhag. That itself is a minhag. So many shuls don't say Tachton because some say it's the Sheva Brachos of the wedding that took place on Shavuos. Others say more in Halacha that it's based on this idea that since these are days which one could bring their Karban to the Beis HaMikdash, so these are still celebratory days. But I want to show you just how far this goes. An amazing comment from Rav Yaakov Reischer, the Chok Yaakov in source number 2. We know in Hilchos Pesach, this is where he's commenting, in Hilchos Pesach, we begin the Seder with Kaddish, and when we say Kiddush, we say Shechianu. What happens if you forgot to say Shechianu at the Seder? Let's assume you're in Chutz Laretz and you missed it 2 nights in a row. So, not to worry, you can still say Shechianu. You have time to still say Shechianu. It's still within the Yom Tov. What about Shavuos? What if I didn't say Shechianu on Shavuos? Could I still say Shechianu today? I'm talking about today, like actually today. Shavuos is over. Right? It's not Chol HaMoed. Says Rav Yaakov Reischer an amazing thing. He says in source number 2, V'im lo amar b'yom arishon mavarech b'yom sheini o b'echad mishar yom kishi yizkor. On Pesach, if you didn't say Shechianu the first night, or you didn't say it the second night, you could say it the remainder of the Yom Tov. And if you don't have a cup of wine to say Shechianu over, that's okay. We say Shechianu over a cup of wine to give it a little more chashivas, to make it special. But technically, the Gemara says in Erevin, you could say the Brach of Shechianu while walking in the street. Shechianu is on the time period. And then says Rav Yaakov Reischer, where it's bolded, Duhu adinim shachach lomar zman b'leil sheini mevarech chol shiva. Quotes the Magen Avraham, the same thing is true. Again, you could say Shechianu for the entire week. And then he says the amazing Chiddush, V'nira, Dehu Hadin Ba'atzeres. The same thing is true on Shavuos. If you forgot to say Shachrianu on Shavuos, you have a whole week after Shavuos. You're back in your office, you're back in school, you're back at work, you're back to your regular routine. You could still say Shachrianu v'kimanu v'yanu l'zman hazeh. Afagav duhu rak shnei yamim, even though the Yom Tov itself in Chutz La'aretz is only 2 days, mikol makom yesh la tashlumin kol shiva. Just like when we had a Beis HaMikdash, you could bring the carbon after Shavuos. So too, says Rav Yaakov Reischer, an amazing chiddush, not everyone agrees to it, but you're allowed to say Shechianu for an entire week. Amazing thing. So we see that we're still holding on, in some ways, to the days of Shavuos. And certainly one could argue, as many of the Sifrei Chassidus referred to, and Rebbe Tzaddikim referred to the Shabbos after Shavuos as Shabbos Noch Shavuos, a Shabbos that's still Mekusher, still connected to Shavuos. There's an amazing proof for this idea as well, that at least until Shabbos, the Shabbos following the Yom Tov of Shavuos is still very much connected to the energy and to the inspiration of Shavuos. Because the Gemara says in source number 3, that again, one of the amazing things that we can only dream of seeing, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, a Jew would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the things that they would do to show the chavivus, the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, is that they would pick up the shulchan, which housed the lechem aponim, and they would lift it up from inside the Heichal, inside the inner chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, for the Jews outside to be able to see. And they would say, look at this bread. This bread that's been sitting on this table for a week is still fresh, it's still warm. And look how much Hashem loves you. Why dafka the shulchan, what the imagery of the bread staying warm is a good question. But that's the Gemara in Yoma, in source number 3, Yoma Chaf Aleph. Melamed shemagbiyin oso lo'oli regalim, they would pick up the shulchan for the people who came aliyah l'regal, it's such a beautiful Gemara. Look how much Hashem loves you. Look at the awesome miracles Hashem has. Look how fresh the love is that Hashem has for you. That when you remove the bread, it's just as warm as when you put the bread on the shulchan. So I ask you again, what would happen on Shavuos? Shavuos falls out on a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday. Right? What happens to this display? When would they hold up the shulchan, the bread which is going to be changed over from Shabbos to Shabbos, but the Jews are here for Shavuos, it's only a day in the times of the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. So when would they hold up the bread? Says the Radbaz, in source number 4, the Shailos and Tshuvos of the Radbaz, who wrote thousands and thousands of Tshuvos. He was a rabbi in Egypt for 40 years. Eventually he came to Yerushalayim. The Radbaz writes, Just for context, look at this. It's in Chelek Vav, it's in the 6th volume of his Tshuvos, and it's response to number 2,178. Okay, he had a lot to say. So the Radbaz says that it could be, where it's bolted, Va'afilu ba'atzeres. He's discussing this practice of lifting up the Shulchan and showing the Jewish people the bread, look how much God loves you. Va'afilu ba'atzeres. Even on Shavuos, Im lo chal b'Shabbos, if Shavuos falls out not on Shabbos, after how you misakvim liros hanes, you know what the Jews would do? They hung out around Yerushalayim. They stuck it out by the Beis HaMikdash till the Shabbos after Shavuos, so that way they could at least have that opportunity on the Shabbos to see what, to see the shulchan lifted up. Look how much Hashem loves you. So again, you see, again, when it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, even when Shavuos is over, it's not really over. It's not really over. It's not too late to say Shachianu. It's not too late to bring the carbon in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. When Shavuos would fall out on a weekday, the Jews would stick around until after the following Shabbos to have the opportunity to see the amazing nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to display to them. So therefore, it's not too late. Here we are, Thursday night, after Shavuos. We still have a Shabbos coming up. And therefore, it's a good time for us to contemplate together. What did we get out of Shavuos? What can we get out of Shavuos? What can we still hold on to Shavuos, from Shavuos? To make sure that when we come home after Shavuos, so to speak, we don't come home empty-handed. After Kabbalah Satorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people, it's time to go home. Klal Yisrael got nervous. Moshe, you take over. You stay with Hashem. You learn the Torah. You'll teach it to us, you know. You give us the cliff notes afterwards. Take the short version. We're very frightened. So Hashem says, no problem. Pasuk in Vaschana in the 5th chapter in source number 5, Lech Amor Lahem, Hashem says, Moshe, go tell Bnei Yisrael, Shuvu Lachem La'ahalechem. Go home to your tents. Everyone, right, back to your tents. Everyone go home. The imagery of going back to your tents, you have to think about. Obviously, the pashut pshat is, go back to your tents, because they lived in tents. But on a deeper level, what's this imagery of going home after Kabbalah Satorah? So the Netziv from Volozhin, the holy Rosh Yeshiva from Volozhin, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, he writes in his Perash on Chumash, go home to your tents means go back to regular life. At Kabbalah Satorah, you were like an angel. You stood there and you heard God speak. It was an awesome experience, totally lamala min atava. Now go back to being a human being. In the words of the Netziv, it was quite poetic in source number 6, Lechaye bisarim, go back to your life of flesh and blood, become normal again, be human again. Vita'anugos b'nei ha'adam, and the pleasures of human beings, kateva ha'anoshi, like people are. Go back to eating, go back to drinking. In fact, the Gemara in Mesaches Avodah Zarah says, Shuva lachem lo aleichem, was actually a directive to husbands and wives to go home and to be intimate with each other. Go back to being regular human beings. Part of the challenge might be to go home to regular life and be changed by Kabbalah Satorah. But the Pashup Shad is go home and go back to your life. Or the Meshech Chachma also in a somewhat poetic passage in his Hakadama to Sefer Shmos, where he talks about the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. He describes in source number 7, Shuvu lachem lo aleichem, hainu lebechira ulekochos haguf. Go back to your tent means put your neshama back in your body. Your body is your ohel. Your body is, so to speak, your tent. He writes, people as human beings have free will, and we choose all sorts of things. All sorts of, he says, dimyonos, and all sorts of mistakes, and all sorts of falsehood, and all sorts of illicit desires. But after Kabbalah Satorah, Hashem says, just go back, go home. V'zeu ha'oel sha'aguf hu oel ha'nefesh. Just like a tent, just like a house surrounds one's body, well, so too, the ohel, the body itself, is the tent, is the house to the soul. Shebe'eis matan Torah yotza nishmasa. Because by Kabbalah Satorah, it was an out-of-body experience. Their souls literally flew out of their body, as the Gemara describes. What does that mean? Explains the Meshech Chachma. Not necessarily literally that their bodies were, that their souls were flying out of their bodies, but it meant that their body was not an impediment in any way, shape, or form to their connection to God. Can you imagine? Imagine we'd have to grapple with our bodies. If being physical, if being human, if having desires was never an issue for us. So at Kabbalah Satorah, they left their ohel, they left their bodies, so to speak. They had an entirely spiritual experience. After Kabbalah Satorah, Hashem says, go back to your tents, go back to their life, go back to being human, go back to those of regular life, real life. But I was thinking, the concept of ohel, when we think about the ohel is often, in Torah sources, not always, but the ohel is often in Torah sources synonymous with what? With Torah. And ohel is a code word for Torah. What's the obvious example? Yaakov is described as what? V'Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov is an Ishtam, a wholesome person, Yoshev, Oelim. He dwells in tents. What does that mean? Yaakov Avinu had a house in Tinak and a house in Florida and an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. I'm saying, what does it mean, Yoshev Oelim? How many tents did Yaakov Avinu have? Rashi explains, he went to the tent of Shem to learn Torah. He went to the tent of Aver to learn Torah. He would go to different yeshivas to learn, whatever a pre Kabbalah Satorah yeshiva looked like. But Yaakov Avinu was called a tent dweller, and Yaakov is the paradigm of Torah. So when Hashem says, go back to your tents after Kabbalah Satorah, Hashem is saying, yeah, go home, go back to regular life, but think about your house as an ohel of Torah. Think about your house, your body, as a place that houses Torah. Or how about the Gemara in Brachos? There's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Tes Zayin that quotes a pasuk in Balak, where it compares an ohel to a nachal. So the Gemara says, what's the connection between an ohel and a nachal? The Gemara says, just like a nachal, just like a stream of water, could serve as a mikvah to purify a person, so too an ohel could purify a person. Rashi says, what type of ohel purifies a person? Rashi says, two words, ohelos, bate midrashos. The base medrash is the ohel, is a tent of Torah that cleanses a person, that perfects a person. So Hashem says to us after Matan Torah, yeah, go home. Part of what Torah does is it allows us to live a regular life, but a regular life that's been elevated. A life where now my bias has become a tent of Torah. And that's really the goal of Kabbalah Satorah. One of the descendants of the Chassam Sofer, in his writings on Chumash called Shir Ma'on, in source number 8, he writes a very, very beautiful description of these series of psukim. We only looked at one pasuk so far, where Hashem says, go back to your tent. But again, let's review the context of that conversation. Klal Yisrael send their elders to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they basically say, we're scared. It's too intense. We don't want God to talk to us anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu, you stick around, you talk to God, you get the whole story, and let us, you know, tell us later. You'll teach us afterwards. And Hashem liked the idea. For some reason, Hashem was into that idea. Pasuk says Hashem thought that was a good idea. And then Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, go back to your tents. Everyone go home. And then Hashem says, wow, you know, they don't want to hear me because they have such a respect for God. And Hashem says, halavai, it should always be this way. Halavai, we should be so overwhelmed by being in the presence of God, feeling such an unworthiness to be in the presence of Hashem. Mi yitain, who could make it that it should always remain this level? Halavai, the Jewish people should always feel so, you know, overwhelmed by God's presence in their life. It wasn't a bad thing. God saw it as not such a bad thing, according to the psukim in Veschanan Parakei. So if you look in source number 8, in the Shir Ma'on, in Parshas Veschanan, he says on these words, Heitivu kol asher diberu. That's Hashem saying to the Jewish people, you've spoken well. It's not a bad idea. Moshe's going to listen and he'll teach the rest to you. And then Hashem says, like I just told you, Miyitein v'hayu levavam zelahem liyira osi kol hayamim. Hashem says, halavai, you should always have such a deep awe and respect to feel so much in the presence of Hashem. But the Medrash comments on the words, heitivu, which means good idea. Hashem says, you've said good, you did a good job. Says the Medrash, Chad manda amar, amar ka tavas haneros. Heitivu sounds like hatavas haneros, preparing the candle, the candles, the wicks, the oil of the menorah, preparing the lamps of the Beis HaMikdash. Heitivu, you did a good job. It's like setting up a menorah. It's like setting up the menorah. It's like lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? V'hu t'mua ma'od. What a strange medrash. So explains the Shir Ma'on, V'yesh Lomar. Yadua b'shah sha'amdu Yisrael ahar Sinai paskazu amasam. We know that at the moment the Jews stood at Har Sinai, paskazu amasam means that all of the negativity that we had acquired throughout all of world history, from the beginning of time until that moment, all of a sudden it was all washed away. Zuama means filth. Spiritual filth, paska, was completely removed. They were mamish like Adam Arishon, back in Gan Eden. Upanim bepanim diber Hashem imahem. And God spoke to them face to face. V'niskadshu yosem imalachi asharis. We were on a level that surpassed angels. Va'oz ein chidish kolkach, shahaya lehem atshuka kolkach gedola litorah, so is it surprising to us, says the Shir Ma'on, that at that moment the Jews are jumping, oh yeah, Nasa v'nishma, sure God, we'll sign any, you put the paper in front of us, we'll sign it before we read it. We're signed up for this. Yeah, at that moment they were as spiritual as a person could be. An out-of-body experience. They were totally cleansed from any aveira that had ever happened. They were on a higher level than angels. So of course they were crazy about Torah. The question is, what happens when you leave Har Sinai? Aval acher kach, belechta mehar Sinai leshuv la'aleihem. But it was at this moment when they were going home, Hashem says, okay, now we have to really talk. The fact that you're from Jew at Har Sinai, shkoyach, not so impressive. I mean, it's great, totally, it's beautiful, not so impressive, not such a major commitment. Right? When Hashem turns you back into an angel, when Hashem hits the reset button on your whole life and allows you to be clean, like you've never been impacted by anything negative in history, then it's not such a chiddush that they're so excited to be from Jews. But when they went back to their tents and they went back to work the day after Shavuos, when Yontav ends at 9:15 at night, you know, it's not as bad as Pesach, you don't have to change over the kitchen or whatever, but okay. You know, to get up the next morning, after staying up all night learning, nokel hu ma'od, it's very easy that they can fall mimadre gosam lios kanasham pshutim. It's very easy after Shavuos to fall right back down. Life gets back to the regular routine, and as pumped as we are in Shavuos to push ourselves to, you know, strive for something more, we're back to anashim pshutim. So Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, heitivu kol asher diberu. Heitivu katovas haneros. It's like lighting a menorah. What does that mean? V'hine ha-menorah kolz man shidolekes me'ira. The menorah, as long as the candle is lit, so it illuminates. But what happens, of course, if that source of illumination goes out? But if you set up the menorah and you don't light it, or if you put the match to the wick and you pull it away too quickly, if you're not constantly fueling it, then you're going to be back in the dark. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael. You just stood at Har Sinai. You heard the word of God. You're a little bit overwhelmed. No problem. Go back to your tents. But you can't walk away from Har Sinai being the same person you were before you had the Har Sinai experience. V'zeh shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says to them, after they said, Krav ata ushma, you Moshe, you go close and listen to Hashem. You'll fill us in afterwards. V'shamanu v'asinu, we'll listen to you and we'll do whatever you tell us to do. V'yishma Hashem is called the Reichem, and Hashem says, no problem. As long as what? Heitivu. Hatavas ha-menorah. As long as you keep that light burning, where it's bolded, hainu. Katavas ha-neros. Kol zman shedolkin me'irin. As long as you kindle the light, as long as you keep providing fuel, it'll stay lit. Hu adin kol zman sha'amdu lefnei Har Sinai, heitivu dvarim. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, at Har Sinai, I see how you're shining. It's not a big chiddush. Aval, and this is what Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, mi yitein v'hayi levavam zel lehem liyero si kol hayam. But Hashem says, I want to make sure that it stays this way. I want you to always be lighting the menorah. And therefore Hashem says to them, lechem or lehem, shuvu lachem lo halechem. You can go back to your tents, permission granted. But Hashem says, please, take something from the experience. Sha'achar kach gam ka'asher yuba olehem, yis'asku b'inyonehem, when you go back to your regular life, yiru osi. Please keep your eye on me, Hashem says. Don't run away from Har Sinai. I saw a mashal. Imagine, a person pulls into a gas station. The tank is almost empty. Says to the gas attendant, assuming he's in New Jersey, fill it up regular, please. And the guy fills it up. Okay, thank you so much. He pays him. Good. He's sitting there. So the gas attendant says, can I help you? Do you need something? So he said, no, I'm fine. So he says, well, what's going on? He says, I'm just going to stay here. Why are you going to stay here? I don't know. Why not? It's a good, Quickie Mart over here is not bad. They serve, I don't know, it's a Hamish place. They serve Cholent Thursday night or something on Route 4, whatever. It's not so bad. So he's like, but you just filled up your car with gas. Yeah, what's your point? I'm not allowed to stay. I mean, you're allowed to stay here. But the reason people fill up their car with gasoline is usually because they want to keep traveling. They want to get somewhere. So I saw this as a mashal. And it's a powerful mashal. It's so simple, but it's a powerful mashal. We fill up on gas. We fill up. We charge ourselves up over the course of a Yom Tov. And then we stay in the same place. We don't actually get anywhere. Why did we fill our car? Why did we go to shul? Why did we daven? Why did we learn? Why did we prepare the Yom Tov meals? Right? Why do we make such a big to-do out of counting Sfira and getting to Har Sinai and being mekabel the Torah to just sit there in the gas station with a tank that's full of gas and not try to get anywhere? And therefore the challenge for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shuvu lechem la'alechem. Go back to your tents. Go back to your regular life. I'm not asking you to stay at Har Sinai forever, but be a different person. Make sure that the lamp that you kindled at Har Sinai, Hashem davened, it was Hashem's tefillah, mi yite. Who could make it? V'hayu levavim zel lehem lira osi kol hayamim. Hashem says, if only there could be a guarantee that it's not going to dissipate. So let's talk practically for a minute. The best way, I say something very obvious, so don't laugh. The best way to make sure that we capture something from Shuas is to capture something from Shuas. The best way to be changed after Shavuos, to do something with Shavuos, is to do something with Shavuos. Is to actually say to ourselves, okay, I went through Shavuos, I counted Sfira, or I didn't count Sfira, but I celebrated the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we received the Torah as a people and as individuals, now what? What's my goal? What's my project? What am I actually attaching the feeling of Shavuos to? Because there was a lot of Hesaurus. Maybe at a moment during a Hallel, during davening. Maybe it was at 3 in the morning as you refilling your coffee cup and you just looked how many little kids were still running around the shul because they want to be connected to shul. It's beautiful. Right? There was a moment where you had a moment said, wow, Mika Amchi Yisrael. How beautiful and how special are the Jewish people. Like we spoke about last Thursday night. Where you thought for a second, what would my life look like without Torah? And you said, you know what? This is magnificent. But you have to do something with that. You have to catch it. You have to hold on to it. You have to bottle up that feeling in a very real and practical way. It says in Shir HaShirim, Hishbati aschem benos Yerushalayim b'tzvos, o ba'ayalos hasadeh, im ta'iru v'im ta'oreru, es ha'ava ad shetechpatz. Listen to how the Ramban translates the words, im ta'iru v'im ta'oreru. It sounds like im ta'iru v'im ta'oreru, if a person has an arousal, an awakening, hitorer, a sorus, an awakening. So what do you do with that feeling? Says the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, im ta'iru v'im ta'oreru es ha'ava ad shetechpatz. What does that mean? Explains the Ramban in his Sefer HaEmun of Abitachon in Perek Yutes. Ad shetechpatz doesn't just mean a longing, a desire, that the feeling is so intense that it creates greater feelings, but techpatz is a lashon of what? Of a chefetz, an object, tangible. Take a feeling and make it tangible. What does that mean? Ad shetetze min hakoach el hapoel. To take the potential, that hisorus, that awakening, that openness to do something more in my Avodas Hashem, and to actually do something with it. Make it lemaisa, something you can hold, something you can touch, something that you could say, this is the goal that I was makabel upon myself, this was what I was working on after Shuas, Tav Shin Ayin Tes. Lo hisoris ha'ava, ad sheyesham adavar haroi sheyasoris bezeh al yado. Zeu ad shetechpatz, look what he writes where it's bolted, shetase chefetz al yedei hasiba ha'hi. To make a chayf, it's an object, right? I always give the mashal. So a person goes on vacation, and you want somehow to capture the feelings of this awesome, you know, family trip, right? So you're at the airport, and you've got all your pictures, and right? But all of a sudden, you know, out of the corner of your eye, you see in like the little shop over there, you know, $12.99, a little keychain, yeah, that says, I had a great time in Florida. Or that little shot glass, you know? Why do people buy those things? They know they're getting ripped off when they buy those things. But somehow they feel like, you know what? When I look at that little object, all the feelings that I had over the course of the trip, all the memories, all the good times, all the experiences, all of it somehow gets bottled up and contained in that little keychain. Right? I had a blast in Florida. Or that little shot glass that you bought in that little store. Right? So says the Ramban, that's what ad shetechpatz means. Im ta'iru im ta'oru, if you have a spiritual arousal, if there's a feeling of connectivity, so connect it to something. Connect it to a chefetz. Attach it to an object. Milashon chazal, like chazal say, techpatz, he says, is a lashon of la'ankute chefetz biyade. To take an object in your hand. A chefetz, a real tangible object. Klomar kli. Attach it to a kli. This is the source. This Ramban, in the 19th chapter of his Emunah B'Tachon, is the source for buying, you know, shot glasses. Those people who collect from like all the trips they go on around the world. This is the source. To try to capture, to do something real with that hisaurus. Not to allow the feelings to dissipate. And again, like we started, until this Shabbos, at least, we're still within the avira of Shuas. And it's not too late, if we haven't bottled it up yet, it's not too late for us to try to hold on to it, to do something real with it. In the Velazhen Yeshiva, over a lunch one time, there were a bunch of B'nai Yeshiva speaking, and there was an outstanding scholar who was sitting at the table, and they were talking and learning, and someone mentioned a particular Tosfos in Shas. And there are thousands of Tosfos in Shas. A comment of Tosfos on the page of a particular Gemara. And this Talmud Chacham didn't remember that Tosfos. And he was so disappointed in himself that he didn't remember the Tosfos, he jumped out of his seat and he ran off. And the version that I read in the biography of Chaim of Elazner is that he secluded himself for 7 years. He more or less went into isolation for 7 years to really master Torah in a way that he felt was sufficient, because he forgot one Tosfos one time. Imagine. So when Rav Chaim Volozhiner would tell the story, he used to say with a smile, they were in the middle of eating lunch and he forgot to bench. He jumped out of his seat so quickly he ran off. He never benched. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, but I'll tell you, it was a holy mistake. You know why? Because if he would have stopped to bench, if he would have said, you know what, I'm disappointed that I didn't remember that thing in learning, but okay, I'll get to it, you know, I'll learn it some other time. He never would have become the person who he was in learning. Now again, it's an extreme story, and it's obviously, you know, don't try this at home, right? But the lesson is such an important lesson. Here was someone who felt, I need to make a change in my life, and it cannot wait. Ah, I'm in the middle of eating. I have to bench in the place where I ate. Right? But in that moment of his sorrows, he ran off to grab on to that spiritual awakening. and he channeled it in a very intense way, and he became, it's unnamed in the Sefer, who this great scholar was, but apparently he became a renowned gadol, who probably someone, if we knew the name, if they would reveal to us the name, we would probably recognize him. So let's learn from the Parsha, just again, a couple of suggestions of how we can bottle up Shuas a little bit better. And again, the main goal is to make a Kabbalah. Because when you learn something, when your mind is expanded, you have to do something tangible with it. I'll bring you an example from this week's Parsha. Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, one of the early tzaddikim of Hasidus, you can see the dates of his life, 1730 to 1788, in his Pri Ha'aretz, in this week's Parsha, he says an amazing idea. We learn in this week's Parsha about the Isha Sota, the woman who is unfaithful to her husband, and the waters that she has to drink. And we also learn immediately afterwards about a Nazir, a person who chooses to become a Nazir, to grow one's hair, to refrain from eating wine products, not to contaminate oneself to a mace. And the Gemara wonders, why is it that the Parsha of Sota is put right next to the Parsha of Nazir? Or maybe why is Nazir put next to Sota? And the Gemara says, because anyone who sees the Sota in her disgrace and realizes that how did this woman become an adulterous woman, probably had too much to drink, became lightheaded, made some bad choices. So therefore, says the Gemara, kola roa sota bikukula, when you see the Sota in her disgrace, yazir atzmo min hayayin. It'll make you want to become a Nazir. You'll be so nervous to God forbid, drink and to lose your mind because people sometimes make terribly, terribly destructive mistakes. Okay. So it says Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, I don't really understand. If you see the Sota woman and you see what happened to her and you see how dismal her situation is, so you would think, you don't need to do anything. Right? You saw what happens to a person who makes the bad mistake. Why do you need to now take upon yourself, you know what, I'm never going to have a drink. If you're the most appropriate person to have a drink, why drink? Right? The sad state of this Isha Sota, need to then act and respond to it. Just by seeing it, isn't that enough of a lesson? It says Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, no. And it's really a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It says in Pirkei Avos, a person whose wisdom surpasses their actions, their wisdom will not last. And a person whose actions are greater than their wisdom, then their actions will last. What does that mean? He explains beautifully. He says, if you look in Source 11, he says that when a person learns something, when a person studies something, when you have a new idea, there's a danger of what? Of your mind and your spirit growing, but it's disconnected from your physical reality. Which is why, lo hamedrash ha'ikar el hamasa. The study is not the main thing, but it's the living of Yiddishkeit, which is the main thing. So he says in the middle of the second line, quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, kol agadol mechavero yitzro gadol heimenu. Whoever is greater than someone else, then their yetzer hara becomes greater. V'lo derech klal amru, ela afilu im yar beledas tochas u'musar chachma v'das, eich li'inatzel me'oso taiva. He says, this statement is not a general statement, but even if a person, you could be sitting and reading about something that's really bad. Don't do this because it's really bad. You could be reading a Musar Sefer that talks about the severity of not speaking Lashon Hara. But you know what danger there is after reading about it? If you don't act on it right away, your chachma has grown, but your actions have not. And therefore, you've made yourself vulnerable to the Yetzer Hara. Why? Because now you've, on some level, spiritually elevated yourself, but there's a level of disconnect. So therefore, whenever you study something, you would think, okay, the fact that I studied it, that's a great accomplishment. No, make sure that your actions parallel your study. So he explains, when you see the Sota in her kulkula, you can see right by the line, in the middle of Source 11. He says, kol ha-roes sota b'kulkula yazir atzom b'nayayin. Ma she'em kein im eino roes sota b'kulkula. If you don't see the Isha Sota, ve'eino yodeya chachma v'das, if you don't see that situation to learn the Musar, then you don't have to be as careful. It's so counterintuitive. You would think the person who saw what happens to this poor woman for making these terrible choices, that's enough to guard oneself. No. Says Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, if you saw something, if you learned something, if your spirit has been touched, but your body's not keeping up, that's a very dangerous thing. And therefore, it's important for us, coming out of Shavuos, Dafka, when we've been so spiritually uplifted, to make sure that our actions keep up with our spirit. We're not counting down to zero, now we've arrived, and now we have Shavuos, and then, you know, check. We count up as if to say when we get to Shavuos, we experience Shavuos, and then we keep going up. So two advices about how to make a Kabbalah, also from this week's Parsha. What happens when a person makes a sincere Kabbalah? Accepts upon oneself to do something. It could be a tiny something. It could be a commitment from now until Rosh Hashanah to read one pasuk a day of Tehillim. It could be a small thing, or one Mishnah a day. Or it could be a page of Gemara a day. Or it could be to learn a section of Tanakh that you've never studied before. Or it could be to study the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, one halacha a day. It could be anything. What happens when you make that sincere Kabbalah? If it's sincere, you're immediately changed. And we see that from what? From the Nazir. When the Nazir says, I want to be a Nazir, the person's life is instantaneously changed. Before they've really done anything. The Leif Simcha, the fifth Ger Rebbe, who served as the Rebbe of Ger from the late 1970s, when his brother passed away until 1992. The Leif Simcha, in this week's Parsha, in a comment from the year Tafshin Mem Gimel, which would be 1983, he said the following, in source 12, Ish kiyafli lindur neder nazir lahazir lahashem. When a person makes the commitment to become a nazir, that's what the pasuk says. Limud amuk mizu haparsha, vehu pil e plaim. There is an awesome lesson from the parsha of the nazir. It's a wonder of wonders. Sha adam rak mekabel al atzmo. The nazir says, I accept upon myself shelo lishtos yayin. I'm not going to drink wine. Wine is not prohibited according to Jewish law. Shehu davar heter. You're allowed to drink wine. It has to be kosher. You have to make a bracha. You're allowed to drink wine. This person says, I'm not going to do something which I'm allowed to do. Okay, so he's just giving up something extra. Okay. And afilu lizman muat shel shloshim yom. A nazir can be a nazir for as short as a mere 30 days. V'kvar magia l'madrega kol kach gavoa. By giving up something which is not like, you're not like I do the worst of air in the world, now I'm giving it up. I'm giving up something which, you don't have to drink for 30 days. Okay. And yet the person is so radically transformed that immediately the Torah describes him as what? Ki nezer elokov al rosho. He wears the crown of godliness on his head. What did this person, man or woman, because woman could be a nazira also, what did this person do that was so awesome? What was so transformative? What did they take upon themselves? A huge change for a long time? No, actually a very short change and seemingly, not impossible change for a very short period of time. And the Torah writes about such a person, Kadosh Hu LaHashem. Such a holy person. Wow. You know why? Because the person is committed to doing something with their life. Umagia L'Kedushi Yaseira, and they become so holy by swearing off wine and just growing out your hair a little bit, all of a sudden you become so holy that you can't even be metame yourself, you can't even come into contact with la'aviv uli'imo lo yitama. You're not allowed to even defile yourself if the Nazir's parents pass away. You can't go to the cemetery. Shalom matzino kin rak b'kohen gadol. A regular kohen's allowed to go to the closest relative's funerals. A kohen who can't go to a cemetery. For the closest relatives, a Kohen can. Only the Kohen Gadol can't go to the funeral of the immediate relatives. And you know who else? A Nazir. Why? What did this person do that was so significant? What did he do? Lishonos kol kacharifim shal isailos v'kedusha. And the Torah just talks about, wow, Nazir elokav al rosho, kadosh l'Hashem, such a holy, holy person. Lameidim anu mikan, kocha hagadol shal kabbalah sha'adam mekabal al atzma. Says the Holy Ger Rebbe, 1983, we see from here the power of a Jew who makes a commitment to change, a Kabbalah. I accept upon myself to do something. Shebekoach haKabbalah, that just by saying I'm going to do, shekibul ha'atzmo davar ma, the smallest of things, nosim lo min ha'shamayim od yoser. You take a step, a sincere step, Hashem says, I'll give you much more. U'makabo kochos el yonim. And you're given this awesome divine assistance to wear the crown of Hashem on your head, so to speak. What an amazing thing just by a person saying, I want to be a better Jew. But it's important that we make a Kabbalah that's going to last. People fall into the trap sometimes, and then it falls apart. So let's learn one final lesson from the Nazir. A lesson of being smart about the way that you accept upon yourself to do something. Again, it can be a small thing, so to speak, for just a short period of time. But let's learn an important lesson from a particular Nazir, and it'll teach us how to make the right Kabbalah coming out of the Yom Tov Shuas. The Gemara in Maseches Nedarim tells a story. I'll tell it to you outside for now, in Source 13. That Shimon HaTzadik said there was one Nazir that he met he was unbelievably impressed by. It was a young, handsome man who decided to become a Nazir. And at the end of the Nazir's process, after growing one's hair, right, one cuts off one's hair, one shaves off, one shaves one's hair. So he asked this fellow, why did you become a Nazir? So he said, I'll tell you. He said, I'm a good-looking guy. I'm a handsome guy. And I was shepherding one time my father's sheep, and I took the animals down to the water, and I saw my reflection in the water. And I said, wow, you're such a handsome guy. And all of a sudden I realized that such a handsome guy, I could probably get myself into a handsome amount of trouble. Right? So I decided, you know what? My Yetzirah was trying to get the better of me, to use my beauty, right, to rebel against Hashem. So I decided immediately on the spot, I said to myself, to my own reflection, I said, Rasha, lama tamizga ba'olam she'eino shalcha. Why do I have the gaiva, the haughtiness, to take from a world that doesn't belong to you? And I immediately committed myself at that moment to what? I'm going to shave my hair for Hashem. And he became a Nazir. And Shimon HaTzadik said about this Nazir, Bini, my son, kamocha yirbu nozrei nazirus b'yisrael. Halavai, all the nazirim in Klal Yisrael should be a Nazir like you. What's the chashivas of this story? What was so awesome? What was so impressive about what this Nazir did? It's a little bit the opposite of the Rav Chaim Volozhiner story I told you before. What was the Rav Chaim Volozhiner story? Sometimes you have to act right away if you want to make sure something's going to last. But sometimes, if you're a little bit too quick to act, right, that also could be faulty in making it last. What did this Nazir do? He saw his reflection in the water, and he said what? He said, my hair, my beautiful hair, is going to get me into trouble, so I'm going to shave it off. And when did he decide to shave off his hair? He could have just cut his hair. He could have just made himself less attractive, you know, with his long flowing hair, which apparently was very attractive. He decided, what did he decide to do? I'm going to become a Nazir. I'm going to wait 30 days, and then I'm going to cut my hair, but I'm going to commit myself right now to do it in 30 days from now. You realize how smart that was? The Rosh Hashiva from Slobodka, of Isaac Sher Zatzal, said that was a really smart move. And that's why Shimon HaTzadik said, oh, this is the right type of Nazir to be. If he would have just cut off his hair in some dramatic fashion, it would have been very powerful in that moment. But who's to say that that's going to last? He made a commitment right then and there, through his acceptance of Naziris, to cut his hair in 30 days from now. That way he wouldn't have the dramatic flair of, I have to do something radical right now. But it was also arranged in such a way that it's going to produce results, that it's going to get done. And Rav Isaac Sher from Slobodka said, that's a very smart way for a person to make a Kabbalah. So after Shuas, again, when it's all said and done, we still have a couple of days to hold on to the Roshem of Shuas. The Avoda is to do something. Again, maybe to respond right away, but certainly to attach it to something, to make it realistic, to realize that just accepting something upon ourselves already changes us, as the Lev Simchas the Ger Rebbe said. And last but not least, as Rav Palm once explained, in a very different context, in the Ne'ilah Drasha, on Yom Kippur, he explained the Gemara in the second to last source, the Gemara in Brachos da Avavim Beis. Amr Rabbi Chelbo, Amr Rav Huna, Hayotze mi Beis HaKnesses. When a person walks out of shul, Al Yafsiya Psiya Gasa. You should walk away from shul. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You should walk out of shul slowly. If you run out of shul, it looks like you don't like being in shul. God forbid. So Rav Palm, one year, at the end of Yom Kippur, said the following, and it's printed in the final source. We just finished Yom Kippur. And again, it's the same thing for any Yontif. We just finished Sfiras HaOmer. We just finished Shavuos. We just finished Kabbalah Satorah. Yom Aruch Shahinu Beis HaKnesses. I'll change Yom Aruch to Laila Aruka. We spent a long night in Shul, learning. We spent the days of Shuas. Levushe Lavan Kamalachim. We received the Torah which makes us on a higher level than angels. Again, I'm using his Tshuva model and Yom Kippur model for Shuas. Tshuva, Tvila, also true for Shuas. Safuge Kedushas Hayom, we absorbed, like a sponge, we sucked up all this Kedusha. And in just a short period of time, says Rav Palm, Nashuv Liyamos Achol. Shuva Lechem Lo Aleichem, Hashem says, go back to your tents, go back to regular life. Ulam Niyat Trudim B'mitzos Achag Abalinu Letova. But of course, after Yom Kippur, comes Sukkos. We stay busy after Yom Kippur. Right on Motzei Yom Kippur, there's an inyan to start building your sukkah. Do something with it right away. And then Rav Palm quoted this Gemara in Maseches Brachos. When you leave shul, don't take big steps. Whenever you walk away from something holy, walk away slowly. Make sure that some of the roshim, it's able to linger. So Mirtz Hashem. No, we're parting ways for a little bit of time. I hope people will come back in a couple of weeks from now. Maybe 6-7 weeks from now. We'll start up this year again to get ready for, before you know, we'll be getting ready for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But Mirtz Hashem, we should make sure that we take something from this Yom Tov Shavuos. And that we take something from all the shiurim that Baruch Hashem we've had over the course of the last year. To try to hold on to it. To make sure that we absorb some of that Kedusha. To make a Kabbalah. Something tangible. That we could stop each other in the street and say, Nu, what are you working on? And be able to answer that question. And then Amir Tzah Hashem will continue to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day of our lives. Good Shabbos, and thank you so much. We'll daven right here, right now.